I want to just begin by just sharing a few things. Pam mentioned, you know, that a lot of times, you know, on Mother's Day, it's a difficult time for some people. I know that some may have lost their mother this past year or recently, and others, maybe you had a bad relationship, whatever. But how many of you know, and I know you do, Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. Amen? Amen. And, you know, Friday, I went to see my mother. She's in assisted living in Rochester. And I'm grateful she's still alive, but I'm not sure she knows who I am. But you know what? It's still a special thing. And it's important that we share our love with them and recognize all that they did, the sacrifices that our mothers made. Most of us, I know, had, I'm sure, not perfect mothers, as Pam said, but we had mothers that really loved us and cared about us. And it's so important, if they're still alive, to just express that love and that care. And even though you might have some unforgiveness, I want you to know Jesus the Forgiver lives on the inside of you. And Jesus the Forgiver can empower you to forgive your mother, your father, or whomever that you might have some problem with. Amen? And my prayer is that even today, we're going to offer prayer for mothers today, and we can pray for you concerning that. And then sometimes, you know, mothers feel so inadequate. They feel like they're not able to do it. They feel like they're coming up short. I want you to know everybody feels like probably at one time or another they're coming up short. Sometimes I struggle. I feel like sometimes I was a terrible father. You know, I didn't spend enough time with him. I spent so much time trying to build a church. I tried to balance it out, but sometimes I wonder. But you know what? I think sometimes that's just the enemy trying to mess us up. And so, you know, we do what we can by the grace of Almighty God. And so I just want to encourage you with all of that today. Amen. I want to start off by just reading a couple of things to you that I think will just minister to you. I think it will anyway. It's a story about a boy, first of all. A little boy forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation. His mother was in the front row to prompt him. She gestured and formed the words silently with her lips, but it did not help. Her son's memory was blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." The child beamed and with great feeling in a loud, clear voice said, "My mother is the light of the world." Well, praise God. Amen. And then I found this other one. I think you'll enjoy this. It's a sign on a bathroom door. Some of you mothers, I know you can relate to this. And the sign read this way, "Attention, everyone, the bathroom door is closed. Please do not stand there and talk, whine, or ask questions. Wait until I get out. Yes, it is locked. I want it that way. No, it's not broken. I'm not trapped. I know I have left it unlocked and even opened at times since you were born because I was afraid some horrible tragedy might occur while I was in there. But it's been 10 years and I want some privacy. Do not ask me how long I'll be here. I will come out when I'm done. Do not bring the phone to the bathroom door. Do not go running back to the phone yelling, 'She's in the bathroom.' Do not begin to fight as soon as I go in. Do not stick your little fingers under the door and wiggle them. This was funny only when you were two. Do not slide pennies, Legos, or notes under the door. Even when you were two, this got a little tiresome. If you have followed me down the hall talking and are still talking as you face this closed door, please turn around, walk away, and wait for me in another room. I will be glad to listen to you when I am done. Oh, and yes, I want you to know I still love you, Mom." Amen. All right. Amen. Well, you know, I know that a lot of ladies, you know, they'll, maybe none of you, but a lot of ladies, they'll go into the bathroom just to get peace and quiet. They don't even have to go to the bathroom. But they just go in there to hide for a little while and to just have some peace and quiet. I understand that. All right. And praise God, though. Praise God. Someday, if you're like me anyway, you're going to look back. If you've got little kids today, you're going to look back and you're going to say, that time went way too fast. And you're going to think to yourself, sometimes I just feel like I want to go back to that day. I want to go back to that day. At the time, it seemed frustrating. At the time, it felt like such a burden. At the time, I felt so weary and so worn out. But now I feel like sometimes I just want to go back to that day. And I know that many of you can probably relate to that. Let's talk about this for a couple of minutes here. The honor moms deserve. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, the scripture reads this way: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. A command from the Lord to honor your mother and father. Some people might think, well, that's an Old Testament command. But the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, brings it over into the New Testament in Ephesians 6, 2 through 3, where it reads this way: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it will go well with you and that you will live a long time on the earth. And that's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6 or chapter 5 and verse 16. Notice the promise. It's the promise of honoring your mother and father in order so that life will go well for you and you'll live a long time on the earth. That's why I used to tell my kids, if you don't honor me and your mother, you're going to die. And it's biblical, isn't it? Oh, Lord. The word honor means this. What does it mean? It means to show respect, give recognition, often implying action to show that honor. So it's respect, it's recognition. And then to estimate in respect of worth. In other words, the idea is that we treat someone as though they have value because they do have value. To hold in estimation, respect, honor, and reverence as well. Notice what the Amplified Bible, or how it renders Ephesians chapter 6, 2 and 3. The Amplified Bible says, honor, esteem, and value is precious, your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so it says in the first phrase, it says, esteem and value is precious, your father and your mother. All right? And so again, this is important. How do we do this? Some practical ideas as to how we can honor our mothers. If children are in here, not too many are, they're in class, but some of the ways they can honor them is to do what is right in the sight of God. Amen? And to do things that she asked to have done in the home. You know, adult children, how many of you know that it didn't expire when we became adult children of our parents in terms of honoring our mother and father? Isn't that right? How many of you know that command did not expire the moment we reached 18 years of age? It was still a command throughout our lives to honor our parents. Amen? Amen. And so how would we do that? We would do that in a variety of ways, ways that beyond even what I might even mention, but we do it by, telling them over and over again how much you love them and how much you appreciate all that they did, the sacrifices that they made. I know that my mother, she worked a full-time job all the time that I was growing up. She, along with my dad, they worked hard. They worked hard, and she wasn't the typical mother that sometimes you wish you might have had. We boys, mostly us boys, I have an older sister, but she fended for herself. Us boys, I remember as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, I was the oldest of three. And so, I'd get up and before school, I'd make those French toast. I'd make a stack. Man, we'd eat 8 French toast stacks. I'd be making that French toast, and my brothers and I, we'd eat that before going to school and everything. My mother, why? My mother was working, and she'd already gone off to work. And so we had to take care of those kinds of things, but she was making a sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, they gave us a good home, and they provided in so many ways. We never lacked anything, and I'm so grateful to God for that. I'm so grateful. And we didn't lack their attention either. Even though they worked hard, we didn't lack knowing that they loved us and cared about us. We didn't lack that either, even though he, my dad, and she worked so hard to provide in so many ways. So, if your mother's still alive, you ought to call her. You ought to go see her. I went and saw mine. I can't call her. She can't use a phone. But, do whatever you can. One thing, I took her some flowers. And no matter whether she knew which son I was or not, one time she introduced me as her brother. But thank God, except for her mind, I thank God she's healthy. She walks so fast, I have to tell her to slow down. She feels good and everything. And that's the grace of God right there. Because you know what? That woman, she was an army brat. And she started smoking when she was 10 years old. And she fought that for many, many, many years. And I don't think she quit until she was 60-something years old. And yet, even though she smoked for that many years, did you know she's got no cancer? She's 87 in August. She'll be 87 years old. She feels good. She got a little bit of diabetes or whatever. But for the time that she's got eyesight that is unbelievable. We go for a ride. She can read sign. Let me tell you, she knows Jesus. Thank God Jesus can sustain us. Amen? Amen. And it's just amazing. She can read signs a distance away. When they say she needs glasses, she doesn't need glasses. She doesn't wear glasses. And yet she can read signs that I can't even see. And so praise God for that. Again, God will sustain us and He'll help us overcome whatever we might experience in life. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, another scripture, it says this, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." And you know, again, a lot of this, you know, we need to follow Jesus. You know, Jesus treated women well. I don't know if you realize that. And a lot of people that misinterpret a lot of scriptures, they don't realize this. But when you get down to it, He treated mothers and women in general with honor in every regard. First of all, He treated women with respect. In John 2, 1 through 12, you might know the story of when His mother came to Him at a marriage ceremony, a wedding ceremony. And she said to Him, "We have no wine." And He said to her, now in the English, it sounds rude. In the English, it says, "Woman, what do I have to do with you, right? Or what do I have to do with that situation?" But in the original idea there, it was a very respectful. It was more like, dear lady, what should I do about this? My time has not yet come. And of course, He turned the water into wine and did a miracle. It was the first of miracles that He did. And so He wasn't treating her with disrespect at all. Luke 13, 10 through 17 talks about a woman that had bent over. She was bent over for 13 years. The Pharisees, you know, the religious leaders were always a mess. And He said to the Pharisees, "Should not this dear woman who's been bound for these 18 years, being a daughter of Abraham, should she not be loosed from her infirmity?" Amen. And what did He do? He healed her, and she stood upright, and she was healed and made well. Amen? This dear lady, this dear woman is how it is expressed as a Hebrew idiom in those passages of Scripture. Also, He ministered to all women. He ministered to all of them. He commends the faith of an Old Testament woman, the widow of Zarephath, who took in Elijah, and that's in Luke 4, 25 and 26. He healed Peter's mother-in-law of a high fever, the Scripture says. He healed his mother-in-law. I think Peter was happy about that, even though it was his mother-in-law. But anyway, he healed Peter's mother-in-law and blessed her as well. He cared about women. He cared about them and treated them well and with respect. And we're to be imitators of Him, are we not? And then also He ministered to the woman at the well. You remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? And He didn't condemn her, even though, you know, she had had, five husbands, and the one she was with now was not married to. He didn't condemn her. He shared good news with her. So much so that the woman of Samaria went into the city of Samaria, and she talked about a man who told her everything about her whole life and became an evangelist, really, of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter, by the Spirit of God, says this, "In the same way you married men should live considerately with your wives, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker." And I'll pause there. Generally, they are physically the weaker, but that doesn't mean they're lesser in any way. Amen. And so intellectual recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you, husbands, are joint heirs of the grace, God's unmerited favor of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Otherwise, you cannot pray effectively. And so He says to the husbands that you're to honor your wife, that you're to treat her as an equal because she's an equal heir. How many of you know that in Christ, Paul wrote, there's no male nor female, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, amen, but we're all united together in Christ. And so it's so important that we honor one another. There's not any lesser. You know, there's some theologians out there and Christians in general that want to kind of suppress women even today in America today. And they'll say things. It's a big debate. You may not even realize this. Well, there shouldn't be any women preachers. You know, that's a big one in Southern Baptist circles. And there shouldn't be any women pastors. It's very interesting to me. First of all, they misinterpret Scripture. And I'm going to talk about it because it's my opportunity. Because did you know we've had at least two couples leave this church over the years that were offended because I let a woman preach. And you know, that is just so, to me, just a misinterpretation of Scripture. They said, well, women should keep silent in the church. Can you imagine how short my life would be if I told my wife to be silent in the church? Where these things come from, it's amazing. You know, the Holy Spirit just says things, doesn't He? You know, so, But you know, they totally misunderstand these things. 1 Timothy chapter 2 talks about, you know, the women keeping silence. That woman should not keep, should not be allowed to speak. But they need to understand that's a personal letter to Timothy, a pastor of a church in Ephesus. And many theologians recognize the fact that no doubt Paul was talking about a particular woman in that church at Ephesus who was causing problems and propagating false doctrine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so it wasn't talking about women in mass. It's talking about that woman. Most scholars I've read after will say that woman should not be speaking in church because she's causing problems. You understand what I'm saying? And same idea in 1 Corinthians 14 where it says, let the women keep silent in church. Again, the interpretation of a whole in context is there was confusion at the church at Corinth. And he even talked about tongues and interpretation and how everything, God is not the author of confusion. And so there were certain women there that were speaking out of turn and causing confusion. And so that was a particular situation at that particular time. It wasn't saying they should not speak at all. I know I might be off of Mother's Day a little bit. I don't know, but I'm talking about the value of women one way or the other. Are you hearing me here today? Thank God for women. If it wasn't for women, I'd be talking to 10 men today or so. Is everybody all right here? I want you to look at this just for a minute because I'm going to tell you, we're going to have women preaching and you need to know what the Bible has to say. I'm going to share this and we're still honoring mothers. We're still honoring women overall. But this is an opportunity for me because, you know, many of you know Rose Kaufman has preached several times and she's going to preach again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. I mean, we haven't scheduled that, but this idea, you know, these, and it's not just men, but sometimes I think men, they feel intimidated. It's funny how, you know, it's okay if women go on the mission field and they preach to other men in the mission field, but for some reason, there's something about doing it here that's wrong because, again, they misinterpret some of the scriptures I just mentioned to you. Are you following what I'm trying to say to you today? And so, again, you know, it's like, you know, people telling me in the past, couple of people, two couples saying, well, you know, I don't believe in women pastors or women preachers. They should not get up there. They shouldn't be teaching men. You know, basically I say, well, goodbye. You might as well go because I'm not changing. There's going to be opportunity as God leads that women are going to minister the word of God because it's the word of God. And in Christ, there's neither male nor female. Is everybody okay here today? All right. Now, some of you might not come back. I don't know. But you know what? You need to receive the word of God in its context. There's a cultural issue here that we need to understand. There's a historical issue that we need to understand in order to interpret the scriptures rightly. But turn, if you have a Bible, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, we're still honoring mothers and women, but I felt like, you know what? Let's see this and understand that the Bible does not minimize in any way the value of women. Is everybody all right here today? Now, granted, you know, we need to make sure that whoever speaks has some education in the Word of God. They know what they're talking about. They know how to rightly divide the Word of God. But that applies to men and women, doesn't it? Amen. And so in Romans chapter 16, I just want to show you a couple of things before I close this out. Then we want to pray for moms today. We want to pray for moms today. Are you in Romans 16? If you are, say yes. Notice what Paul says at the end of this particular epistle. He says, I commend to you Phoebe. I want you to know Phoebe's a woman. Everybody say a woman. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria. Now, it says the word servant, which is a word related to diakonos, which some of you know that word. It means a minister in a variety of ways. It could be a minister of a variety of things. But notice in the context now, it says in verse 2, well, first, in verse 1, he says to these Roman believers, I commend to you Phoebe, who is a minister. And then in verse 2, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. So now we have Phoebe, possibly a leader of some sort at the church in Rome. And then we come to verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Priscilla and Aquila were a husband and wife. Priscilla obviously was the woman, the wife. Aquila was the male, the husband. And if you remember back in Acts chapter 18, maybe you don't remember, but you go back and read it. It talks about this guy who was eloquent in speech by the name of Apollos. And Apollos, they heard them, heard him, they being Aquila and Priscilla, heard Apollos preach the word of God. It says that he was very eloquent and he preached or taught the word accurately. But then after he was done, Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos to the side and taught him some things so that he would preach or teach more accurately. And so Priscilla was involved with that. In fact, some scholars will say the reason in this passage why Priscilla is mentioned first is because she was probably the predominant teacher, the predominant gifted one in terms of the Word of God. Because notice what it says about them. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And so they had a house church. And again, the idea, many scholars say that Priscilla was probably mentioned first here because she was the predominant teacher. And how many of you know that house church didn't just have women? That house church had men. And so the chances are very great that Priscilla taught the men in the church that was in their house. Are you following what I'm saying? And you know, we men, we shouldn't be so intimidated, and I'm not saying any of you are, but I think there's some out there, so intimidated and whatever, they can't have a man or have a woman minister or teach them anything. Well, that's just stupidity. Excuse my language, but it is anyway. Is everybody all right? Now notice, so now we've got mentioned, we got Phoebe, we got Priscilla, and then it goes on, verse 6. It says, greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen, or my fellow country people, really. And I'll clarify that in a minute. And my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ Jesus. Notice, Andronicus in verse 7, and Junia. Junia is a feminine or a female name. And he says countrymen because it means kinsman or even possibly a relative from the same area of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the apostle. And so the idea is that Andronicus and Junia were of the same area of country that the apostle Paul was at. And notice, what does it say about Andronicus and Junia? It says what? It says this, that they were among the apostles. And so there are some scholars, and not a few, there are scholars that believe that Junia, a woman, was also an apostle. Now, see, that bursts a whole bunch of people's bubble. You understand what I'm saying to you? But again, the Bible makes it clear that in Christ there's neither male nor female, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither, Greek or Jew, that we're one in Christ. Now, people say, well, should a woman be a pastor? This is my take on this. You can take it or you can leave it. But again, we're talking about honoring women and honoring mothers in particular. But, you know, I've seen over the years, you know, the Bible does teach that in a family unit, the ideal is that the husband is the head over the home. That doesn't mean he's a dictator. That means he is the head leading in loving, leading in provision perhaps, leading in setting an example in terms of following Christ in his spiritual life. The husband ideally is supposed to be the leader, or you could say, if you will, the head, but that means leader. It doesn't mean dictator. Leader in the family. But you know as well as I do, in a broken society that we live in, that there's times when there is no father or husband to be the leader in the family. And sometimes there's passive husbands who just won't be a leader in the family. He might not even be saved, so he's certainly not going to lead in the things of God. And so what happens is, by default, the wife has to step in and be the leader in that family. So you follow what I'm saying to you? And so in my view, in a similar way, the ideal is for a man to be a pastor of a church. But you and I know we don't live in an ideal world. And there are times, and I know three, I think it is off the top of my head, women who are now pastoring churches, who started the church with their husbands, who have now gone on to heaven, and the women are continuing to pastor those churches. But you know what? Hey, if the anointing is there, who can argue with that? And you know, it talks about Deborah in the book of Judges and how she was a mother in Israel. How many of you know there are women that can be anointed and minister and be pastors? You know, my wife is a pastor. She's a pastor here. She may not be the lead pastor. She's what we call executive pastor because she deals with the financial aspect of things and whatever. But she's ordained as well. And so again, Christianity elevates women. Unlike many other religions like Islam that suppress women and treat them not much more than animals. Is everybody here? And also Hinduism and many others. They suppress women. Christianity elevates women. Because again, in Christ we're one, we're together. Isn't that right? Is everybody hearing me? I'm not saying there's no difference. Thank God there is a difference between male and female. Amen. Thank God there's only two genders, no matter what crazy people think. Is everybody all right here today? And you might be offended by that. I don't care. You know, who would have ever thought that the day would come when people would be offended because we said there were only two genders? That's nuts. That's just crazy to think otherwise. Amen. In any case, we want to minister to people today. I pray that helped you. And I felt like it was needful to show by way of Scripture that Christianity elevates women. It does not suppress women. Paul was not a male chauvinist. Is everybody hearing me today? And so again, remember the cultural gap has to be filled. The historical gap has to be filled, as well as the language gap. We often think of the language gap, but also there's these other gaps that have to be filled in order to adequately understand, and also the context of any given passage, immediate context. Amen? Amen. And so praise God. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for today. And Father God, before we go any further, I pray right now that if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that you just convince them that they need him today in their lives. And so we believe you and thank you for that. With everybody's head bowed and just in a reverential attitude toward the Lord right now, nobody looking around, just praying if you're a Christian. If you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that if you were to breathe your last breath, that you would be in the presence of God, that you are forgiven of your sin, you can be sure, because it's not by you working for it. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn a relationship with God. You have to receive this gift called eternal life. It's a gift. And so, again, you can't earn a gift. You have to receive it. And you receive it by placing faith in Jesus Christ, who died in your stead. He took your judgment, your punishment upon himself so that you could be forgiven. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so the wages of sin, and we've all sinned. The Bible also says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, we all need forgiveness, don't we? Amen. And so if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you have enough guts, enough courage to say, I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. I only care what God thinks. And lift your hand so I can see it. We're going to pray together. I'm not going to make you come up. I'm just going to have us all pray together, leading you into a knowledge of the Savior, Jesus Christ, lest there be even one here today. You've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All right, I don't see any hands here. And so we're going to pray this prayer anyway for the sake of those that may watch later. If you believe this prayer that's based on Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe this prayer, let's pray this together. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for my sins. He took the judgment, the punishment that I deserved so I could be forgiven. And so today, I turn from sin, and Lord, I turn to you. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with all my heart that he not only died, but he rose again, and he's alive. So Lord, come into my life, change my life. And with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise, shall we? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.